Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time in which we live. Tumultuous time, things going on in the Middle East, Europe, throughout the world. Father, we pray now that your Spirit will guide us this morning in our study and our worship, that all that we do will be glorifying to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, all right, let's get into our prayer and talk about it. Thomas, how you doing? Good. How do you feel? We pray for the doctors to get the port out. Did they get it out all right? All right. So now whenever you take anything, you got to get shot with a needle now. That's always wonderful. Terry, any addition? Okay. Good. Well, Thomas, we're going to continue to be in prayer as you're on this miraculous journey. I got an email from Kit, and he told me, he said, I'm under the gun. I'm taking antibiotics, and I just don't want to give it to Thomas or anyone in the assembly, so I won't be there tomorrow. So we're thinking about you, Thomas, and continue to be in prayer. Rick, how you doing? All right. Okay, any other prayer requests that we might have? Yes. How's it going? But really, don't feel bad. I have competing priorities all the time here, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and we live in a priority society. And the old saying, you do what you want to really want to do. And so, all right, we'll be in prayer. Any other prayer request? Okay, yes. Okay. I'll be there Friday night. That'll be good. Yes. Oh, I thought, okay. Any other prayer requests? Just right here. Any other? Yes. Oh. Sure. Well, we'll definitely be in prayer. What's her first name? Okay. All right. Be in prayer for her mother. Okay. All right. Any other prayer requests? All right. Please continue to be in prayer for Judith's son-in-law, Dennis, and for his continual increase of health. He lost his kidney, but he's had other complications, and so please be in prayer. Please be in prayer for Judith's mother. She's at that age now, and the family's going to have to start making some decisions, so please be in prayer for her and the family. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but not only that, knows how to be filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, in what to do with time and money. This is a very important part of our spiritual life. It is not the dominant part. I don't make it a big issue, but it is an issue. For God so loved the world, He gave. And we have so many opportunities of service that God has given the assembly. Everywhere from right here, our local assembly, to the internet, our young people, missionaries. In fact, do you have one of those books that I brought in this morning? Let me just show you, those of you that remember William. Now, William was a friend of Gerald Weber's, came down and worked with Peru and all of that. Well, they have put out the Black Book, The Gospel for Christians, and made some revisions, they called me, and I said, absolutely. So this is the Spanish edition that they're going to use in Peru. And I'm going to get it to the Risleys and just see if it's something that Grady or any of them could possibly use. So there's just so many things that God is doing in regard to this humble assembly. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we enter this facet of worship, we are accustomed to reflecting on the two great spheres of freedom that are involved. The political economic freedom that we enjoy in America to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. To live where we choose, marry whom we choose, go to the church that we choose or choose not to go at all. So many wonderful freedoms that we do enjoy in this country. One of those freedoms is what to do with our money. And Father, we're so appreciative of the men and women who have served and are serving this very hour to secure this freedom. But Father, we cross this with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is a spiritual freedom that gives us eyes and a light to our path in living in the political economic realm that we do. It's because of what we see spiritually that we know what to do with our time, with our money. Gives us a reason for whom we marry, where we live, where we go to church. All these things, Heavenly Father, involved in the spiritual light that we have. So, Father, we are so thankful for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. And now, Father, we pray that you'll receive these offerings and you'll continue to use this assembly. Bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. for the sake of a brief congregational meeting. And Brian, why don't you come and lead us in just two verses of the hymn. We should have some song and praise. So let's do that. Okay, if you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We are in the midst of looking in Romans chapter 5 at verse 13. Verse 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law." Now what we're doing, we're taking a look at some understanding about sin. And I saw a beautiful quote. Let me just quote it. I'm going to paraphrase it to be fitting to our momentum. That a wrong, meaning a non-biblical understanding of a doctrine is far worse than a wrong behavior. In other words, if we understand a doctrine incorrectly, it can have profound effect in our life. A wrong behavior can be recovered very quickly by faith. It is so important that we understand correctly sin. So many Christians are so off on the understanding of sin. What causes condemnation? What causes salvation? What about sin in regard to the believer? Do we have to confess or we're not forgiven? That presents a great deal of problems that we studied last week. If you die with an unforgiven sin, boy, you're going to have trouble getting topside. The Roman Church, they've tried to solve that problem with their last rites and purgatory and all that. They at least were honest with their wrong doctrine. Many Christian organizations, churches and denominations that you're not really forgiven till you, they're going to have problems. People, it's so important that we understand doctrines correctly. Now, we have in this study, let me turn this where I can see it with you. We have studied various aspects in regard to grasping sin. We've studied the definition of sin, the classification of sin, the sequence of sin, the issue of sin, the solution to sin, the origin of sin. And now this morning, we come to the last part, by no means the last part of a study. I mean, there are just so many aspects of sin that we could study. The effects of personal sin, for an example. I don't think I need to go into the pleasure of sin. I think we all know about that problem. But understanding the problem that sin causes in our lives, in our marriages, in our church, in our interrelationship with people. So there's so much that we could study. But these are the things related to our study in Romans 5. And the last thing I just want to note is unpardonable sin. So let's take a look to complete the study of sin. Many people have heard of the unpardonable sin. What is it? And is it biblical? And again, people, when we finish this, I'm not going to be putting all of this stuff up on the board. I want you to get this down, though. I want this to be correct in your understanding, and be, so that we can sort of, to the best we can, prevent erroneous understanding about sin. And so that's why I've done it this way, just so that we can get this down, and you'll have as good a set as you can. And then, as I said, if you miss this, it's on the internet. On the actual points are on the internet. So I want to be sure that we follow through Romans 5, 12, 13, and 14, and then we'll get back to just me preaching and teaching and without going through all of it on the PowerPoint. Okay, point one. There is only one unpardonable sin. Yes, it is biblical. Or unpardonable act would be a better way of discussing it. And that is refusal to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only unpardonable sin. Jesus Christ bore all the sins of the world on the cross, the judgment of them. Point two, it is listed as a sin against the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:31. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. Any sin, blasphemy, is taken care of by Christ on the cross. You've got to understand the vastness of the work of Jesus on that cross. It's unbelievable. But, here's that but again. But, blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Okay. What does that mean? Let's go to verse 32. And whoever shall speak a word against the sin of man, the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Can you believe that? You can run down Jesus, blaspheme Jesus, malign Jesus, all these types of things that are going on around the world even today. Especially today. Be forgiven. He bore on the cross sins committed against him. He bore them. That's the love of your Savior. But, there it is. Whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either at this age or in the age to come. In Gospel of John 16, the Holy Spirit convicts everyone of faith in Jesus Christ. To say no to the convicting minute work of the Holy Spirit is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. No, Holy Spirit, you're wrong. I am not going to believe in this Jesus. So that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So again, unpardonable sin is refusing to believe in Jesus Christ. Let's look at another passage in the same subject. Well, I guess I didn't get it on there. Mark 3:29. Let me read Mark 3:29 to you. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. That should have been on the board. I'm sorry. Mark 3:29. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin. Why is it an eternal sin? Because you refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to be with for all eternity. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll never come under all of this. So we have to understand the effect of refusing to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, point three. So, the unpardonable sin is not suicide, adultery, fornication, divorce, even murder, and so on, as has often been taught. It is not the continual repetition of any sin or sins, a sin pattern. It's not the unpardonable sin. Christ died for every one of them. Every one of them. Yes.
So how does that relate to,
how does that relate to what? Okay, the Ten Commandments, and we'll be getting into the law when we get into this, the rest of chapter 5, but the law is given to show man that he's a sinner and to condemn man. That is the basis of the law, to show man that he is a sinner, and the point is that Christ has died for the judgment of all those sins that man does commit. But the law is given, I'm not a sinner. Well, let's see. How do you stand up for this? How do you stand up with that? It's very interesting. He gives the Ten Commandments. The people say, we can do it. Real loud. Big shout. A lot of noise. We'll do it. We can do it. What's the next thing they did? They broke the first commandment. They built a golden calf. They broke the first one. Right away. I mean, you're on a good start. When you start right after getting it, break the very first one. Now, let's see what I can do with the second one, Lord. See? So, does that kind of help? All right. We're going to be going through a good study on the law. All right. It is not calling your brother a fool or falling away. These are the most common concepts of the unpardonable sin, and all are wrong. All of these, none of these are the pardonable sin. Christ bore every one of those on the cross. 4. All sins are forgiven. Mark 3:28. Well, I've read 3:29. Mark 3:28. Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men. And whatever blasphemy they are afterward. Now verse 29. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness of that sin. Of that sin. You have forgiveness of all sins because Christ bore that. Everyone has forgiveness of all sins, even the unbeliever. The unbeliever sins at the great white throne judgment, no sins will ever come be mentioned. I used to hear preachers talk about, when you stand there and all your life flashes before you and all your sins are shown. That's not going to happen. That's a lie. And it burdens a number of people. Causes them great burden. It's not going to happen, people. Look at the cross. People, you can't have it both ways. You can either believe what happened on the cross or you don't. Okay. And while multitude of believers and religious unbelievers hate this truth, it should be a source of great comfort and assurance in the work of Jesus Christ. Don't regret this. Don't get upset that somebody can commit murder, do all these things, and are forgiven. Because people, when you commit any sin, you're guilty of them all. That's the deal of dealing with the law. You come before God and say, I want to deal with you according to law. Break one, you've broken them all. You're an adulterer, you're a murderer, you're this, you're that. So, don't ever regret and get angry at that concept and that grace of God. Point 5, this is the only sin not poured out on Christ and therefore was not judged. All sins are pardonable except rejection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 6. The unpardonable act of sin is committed by every unbeliever. Every unbeliever commits this sin. Point 7. It is impossible. Whoa. There you go. Thank you. Shows me that somebody's awake, huh? Yeah, boy. Okay, good. Now, point 6. The unpardonable act of sin is committed by every unbeliever. Why? How do you define an unbeliever? One who's not believed in Jesus Christ. What is the unpardonable sin? Not believing in Jesus Christ. Get your geometry book out and you'll see that unbelievers are guilty of the unpardonable sin. Huh? Do what? Oh, well then just understand the theology. Do what? Oh, well, there are aspects of geometry that deal with it. Okay, let's go. Sorry I brought it up. All right, 7. It is impossible for the believer to commit the unpardonable sin. Impossible. Don't ever say to a believer, you've just committed the unpardonable sin. Can't be done. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, you are saved forever. Isaiah 1:18 and Isaiah 44:22. Psalm 103:12. 1 John 1:7. But what about the believer who changes his mind? And that happens. And claims he no longer believes in Jesus Christ. Come now, said Isaiah, let us reason together. If a grown child disclaims his parents, is he unborn from them? No, that's ridiculous. Once you are saved by God, you are saved. People, let's deal with the faithfulness of God. It's not about us. It's about the faithfulness of God. You can no more hold on to your salvation than you can lose it. You understand that? Hard works, living by the law, doing good, all that. You don't hold on to salvation. And therefore, rejecting Jesus Christ, you don't lose your salvation. It's the faithfulness of God. Just relax. God is faithful. There are people who have accepted Christ, believed in Jesus Christ as young children, then they grew up, went to college, and that did it. College just took them off on an orbit. I don't believe in Jesus anymore, and I don't do this anymore. Well, what do you think God is doing? Oh, no, they don't believe in me anymore. Oh, I'm going to just damn them. What kind of a Savior do you have? What kind of parents do you have? Have you had? Oh, my child doesn't know me and he doesn't know me. I'm just going to write him out. Most of the time it's because you wrote him out that he disowns you. But we're not worried about that right now. People, it's the faithfulness of God. It's not our faithfulness. Okay. Is he unborn from there? No, I did again. And you are saved by God. And a detailed study of 2 Timothy 2, 12 and 13 makes it clear of the faithfulness of God in our salvation. We may be unfaithful, but he remains faithful. If we were studying this as a doctrine, we would study the Timothy passage. 8. It is an unpardonable sin, for there is nothing in the plan of God which provides forgiveness for rejecting of his Son as Savior. There's nothing in the plan of God that offers any kind of hope. Acts 4:12. 9. The alternative to the unpardonable sin is to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. That is the only solution to the unpardonable sin. Just before you die, believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Okay, now we've had the Jewish speaker. We've got to have a brief congregational meeting. And if I go into the next thing, it's going to take a good 40 minutes. So we will begin here, not next Sunday. Let me kind of go through what we've got going on. Right now, we're going to have a brief congregational meeting. Next Sunday is the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday, and I refuse to say Easter because that's from Ishtar. It's not a biblical word, but it's a Resurrection Sunday. So next Sunday I will begin a two-part study for the Resurrection Sunday study. And next Sunday we will have a congregational meeting for voting. Like, we couldn't vote today because by the Constitution, got to give you the Sunday and the following. So next Sunday we will be voting on what we discuss today. Now, those of you that will be at the camp after today's meeting, if you will let myself or Jim Langston know how you want to vote, we'll make note of that, because it's a church thing that you're being gone on. Yes? Is it a vote for? No, the vote will be just staying here. No, two. Yeah, if you were both here, yeah. We are a women observant congregation. Especially now that I'm married. I get into trouble on those things. Let's close in prayer and then just have a brief few moments together and talk. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for what you did with our sin. There are so many things about sin we haven't covered. But Father, we pray that you'll take these things we have covered and then become a knowledge and understanding that has an impact in our life. Not just knowing it, but knowing it where it has an impact in our life. The most fundamental thing about sin is that it breaks fellowship. And you have restored yourself a way of our restoring fellowship. It doesn't depend on us. You provided the means. So, Father, I pray you take these things, have them become reality in our soul and in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.